The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil or you wicked servant." Now, the King James says wicked. Now, this is one of his servants. He said, "You evil or you wicked servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And then verse 34, he says, "Then the angry king sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny." Now then, flip over to the King James right there, Dave, on 34. And let's 34 and 35. "And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors." Now, who do you think these little fellows are? The tormentors. I mean, these are the demons he's talking about. "And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Now, this guy couldn't pay his debt out of prison without a tormentor dragging along beside him. I feel like he's going to have an extremely difficult time paying this debt with a few of these little devils dragging along beside him. How about you, Lance? He going to have trouble? It's going to be impossible, isn't it? Yeah, they're going to make it that way. And then in verse 35, he said, "As I turned you over to the tormentors," Jesus said, "so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So it's real easy for a Christian to be classified as wicked. All he's got to do is do something that's sin. And when you sin, God sees you as wicked and he is angry with you, especially when it's unforgiveness, like it was here, and he turns you over to the tormenting spirits. Now, them tormenting spirits can hurt you. I mean, they can really hurt you. You know, they can put sickness and disease upon you. They can put cancer upon you. They can do all kind. They put pain upon you, and you're not. They can break your car. They can keep you broke. I mean, they can just do all kinds of things. You can't fix things as fast as they break when God turns you over to a tormentor. And, you know, I've seen people that would say, "Well, you know, I just can't ever get a good car. I'm going to buy me a brand new one." And they go down and buy a brand new one, got these high payments. "Well, at least I'm not going to have any trouble with my car. I got a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty." And you drive it 3 years and 37,000 miles and the transmission falls out. And you take it back and tell the guy, "This car, but I'm sorry, sir, it's got 37,000 and it's past your 3 years. So, yeah, the transmission tore up. That's not normal, but we'll fix it for you for $2,500. $2,500? Now he's in trouble. You can't never outbeat God. You can't beat him at this game. So all you got to do is say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I'll love everybody. Do everything you tell me to do." And then you can go buy you a car. That booger might run 200,000 miles without a glitch. You know, in fact, I remember I bought a car one time. It had 50,000 miles on it. I'd asked the Lord for this car. I told him I wanted one about 50,000 with new tires and told him everything. And that day when I sat down at the table for lunch, I looked, the newspaper was open, and there was that car. Well, I went down and looked at the car, and a lady that was getting ready to go to Europe, Christian lady, owned the car. And it looked like a brand new one. And the price was exactly what I'd asked the Lord to give it to me for and everything. And she said, "Now, I bought this car brand new." And she said, "I've just had to put an air conditioning compressor on it. I've just put new brakes on it. And I've just put a brand new set of tires on it. And then I found out I got to go to Europe." So she said, "I've had all these things go wrong with it," but said, "you know, 50,000 miles, it was out of warranty, but now it's all fixed." I bought that car for exactly the price that I wanted to buy it for, which was about a fourth of what it cost brand new. It was only like 4 or 5 years old when I got it. I drove that car 150,000 more miles. I never had a nickel's worth of trouble with it. Nothing. Never. I didn't have to put brakes on it. I did put a new set of tires on it, about 80,000 more miles. Why did that car last me so much longer than it did this other Christian lady? A woman drove it back and forth to work in Dallas, parked it under a covered parking, and parked it in a covered parking at her place, and I didn't even park it under a covered parking. And the next few years, I drove that car 3 times as far as she did, cheaper than she did. What's the difference? There's something different. Something different. So you got to realize. But here, if you hold a grudge or anything against anybody, the Lord will turn you over to the tormentors, and you cannot get free. I mean, I don't care. You cannot rebuke a demon. He won't leave. You may say, you devils of hell, I realize the devil is tormenting me, but you got to leave me. I got authority over you in the name of Jesus. And one night where I learned this revelation, one Sunday afternoon, really, I was trying to kick a devil out of a woman that had a demon, and he was not leaving. And this demon was manifesting in this woman. He was talking to me out loud. And this Baptist preacher had asked me to come. He was standing there in awe. He had never seen anything like this in his life. And the father and the four sons and a brother-in-law and sister were all there. And when I couldn't get this demon to leave this woman, I said, Lord, I'm praying silently. But I said, Lord, you told me I have power over this devil. He's not obeying me. I got to know why. And the Lord spoke to me just as clear. He said, he's there because I sent him. Now, this was a new revelation to a Baptist deacon. You know, I had never heard this before. I said, Lord, you sent this demon to this woman? He said, yes, son, because of her unforgiveness. Wow. All of a sudden, that scripture came flooding back to me. I thought, God, when you said that, you meant that. Now, I've come to realize if he said it in the book, he meant it. I don't have to have a rocket scientist or a PhD to interpret it to me, do I, John? All I got to do is read it and listen to what he said, and that's what he meant, isn't it? And so I found out the woman had a gross unforgiveness toward a first husband, and she was not going to forgive him. When I asked her, I said, ma'am, you got to forgive him. No, she said, I am not going to forgive him. I said, well, ma'am, there's not anything I can do to help you. I said, unless you forgive him, I cannot help you. I said, I'm not the deliverer. I'm not the healer. All I do is pray and speak the commands of the Lord. But he's the one that does the delivering and the healing. And I said, he told me he sent this demon to you. And I said, until you repent, he's not going to withdraw him. And so finally, I did get the woman to repent. And when she repented, after she forgave the first husband, I then turned to her and commanded the demon to leave. And man, he left without any problem. The woman was instantly healed. Everything. It was awe striking to see God do what he did for that woman that day. And that woman had already had a full hysterectomy and everything, and it hadn't helped her back pain, her problems, or nothing. But whenever she repented and the demon left, all of her pains, including her back pain, instantly left. And she was a totally different woman from that day forth. So these demons are our problem. Now let's go back to Proverbs 28. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them. Well, no one is chasing you, but there's demons after you, and you're living in fear and torment, and usually you're hearing voices or thoughts are coming to your mind, and you just don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you what to do. Repent. Repent and stand in faith in God's Word. And when you repent and stand in faith in God's Word, then you won't have to worry because you will become the godly. And it says, and the godly are as bold as lions. Now, those that really know their God are as bold as lions. We don't have to be afraid of the devil, you know, unless we sin. And if you sin, then you're going to have to be afraid of him because God's going to send the devil. And he's going to put some hurt on you. So you really have to be careful of what you do. Then it says, verse 2 says, when there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. Well, that looks like we're pretty well set up for a fall, doesn't it? It says very clearly there, when there is moral rot within a nation. Wow. Are we morally rotten in this nation? It's not just our upper echelons. It's the whole country. You know, I mean, we watch the wrong stuff on television. You know, when Christians tell you, and I had worked for a corporation it sold twice, but I was with that corporation and with the sale all those times for 29 years. And whenever the company, the people that work in the company in HR comes to you and they profess to be Christians, and they tell you they're Christians, but then when they come to you and tell you, you can't talk about Jesus in the workplace, we got a problem. We have a problem. And that happened to me. In fact, after 29 years of being an engineer for these three different corporations, the third one finally, and of course I realized it was God, he had another plan for me, but I was terminated from a company, and the only thing they could find wrong with me was my praying for people in the workplace and seeing God do miracles. That's why I was fired, you know, after 29 years. Well, okay, praise the Lord, that's okay, but I'm going to be the godly. I don't care what the world does to me, God has a plan for me, and I'm going to be about his plan, and I'm not going to yield to the world. And so it says, but the godly are as bold as lions. I remember the day that they called me in and terminated me and said, we're going to give you one more chance. You must promise to never sign another email. Praise the Lord. You must promise to never speak the name of Jesus in the workplace again. And if you will, we'll let you work. I said, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I said, where do I sign? And this woman says, you're serious, aren't you? She said, you know how old you are? I said, you know, my age has nothing to do with this. She said, you won't be able to get another job at your age. I said, you know, I have never worked for this company. I have worked for the Lord Jesus Christ all of my life. And I said, he's going to take good care of me, and there's absolutely no problem. But I said, I want you to know and everybody else to know, there is no human being on this earth who will ever get me to stop praying for the sick, stop praying for people, stop praying where I'm at, stop laying hands on the sick, and stop saying praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. I said, there ain't nobody in this world can get me to stop that. So she said, well, in that case, sign here. And I signed. They handed me my papers, and I walked out of there praising God. Little did I know that God was going to put me into a full-time ministry. And, of course, I saw him do quite a few miracles and healings and everything up to this time. But in the last 6 or 7 years, it has been absolutely awesome. I mean, awesome. You know, I mean, I have loved it. But it says, but the godly are as bold as lions. If you're walking in obedience to God's word, you don't have to be afraid of nothing. You can be bold as a lion. You can even come before your Father, bold as a lion. You can walk right into the throne of grace and say, Dad, here I am. I have a need for this woman or this man, and I want you to answer my prayer. And he will. And he does great things. So, the godly are as bold as lions. Now, to be godly, you got to do what the king says. You got to obey him in everything he says. And when you do, then you can be bold as a lion. But when there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But with wise and knowledgeable leaders, there is stability. We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.